In your Bible, turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, and then you might want to put your finger in Luke chapter 1. Again, in keeping with the theme, he is faithful to his promises. We have the promise and we have the fulfillment. Here we have in Isaiah 7, God's promise of a virgin who will give birth to a child who will be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. This was a sign for King Ahaz of Judah. He was not a good king. He was fearful of an alliance between the kings of Syria and the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, also known as Ephraim. And so rather than seeking God's protection and help, Ahaz was going to turn to the king of Assyria and find help from that alliance, which God forbade the kings to do. And so Isaiah goes to the king and he tells him that God will take care of these kings. And so he asks Ahaz to ask for a sign. But let's pray before I read the text. Father, I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, by whose power we are able to preach and hear faithfully the word of God. I'm an unworthy servant, Lord, but I pray on behalf of your people that you will bless them with attentive hearts and ears. And I pray, Father, for your Spirit to make real to our hearts these truths, faithful to your promise. In the name of Christ, we give thanks and pray. Amen. Isaiah 7, verse 10. And again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask a sign of the Lord for your God. Let it be as deep as Sheol or as high as the heaven. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. And I will not put the Lord to the test. And he said, hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary man that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey when he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the boy knows how to refuse evil and choose the good, the land whose two kings you dread will be deserted. Well, like many prophecies of the Old Testament, this one has an immediate but a partial fulfillment, and then one that will be realized in the future, at a distant future. And I believe with the majority of scholars, conservative scholars, biblical scholars, who see the immediate and partial fulfillment as being Isaiah's son, that is mentioned in chapter 8, verse 3, where the prophet says, I went to the prophetess, that's his wife, and she conceived and bore a son. Then the Lord said to me, call his name Maher Shalel Hashbaz, for before the boy knows how to cry, my father or my mother, the wealth of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria will be carried away before the king of Assyria. Now, that's the immediate fulfillment, though partial. The distant fulfillment is found in the Gospels where, according to Matthew in chapter 1, verse 21 to 23, an angel of the Lord comes to Joseph after he finds out that Mary is pregnant and he thinks, it can't be my child, I'm not the father, because she should be a virgin. And the angel comes to Joseph, who is betrothed to Mary, and reveals to him that the child conceived in her is the miraculous work of God. And Matthew says, she shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so there's the promise and the fulfillment. But how about the manner in which this would be fulfilled? Well, that comes in the second text of our morning message, Luke chapter 1. Here we see what is called the Annunciation. And the sixth month here is the sixth month of the pregnancy. And by the way, yes, on the back of the bulletin, you'll see these passages. So you can go to the back of the bulletin and find the passage I'm going to read. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Beloved, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Now, the complete and full image of God in mankind resides in both genders, and there are only two, male and female. And though headship, that is authority in the home and in the church, is delegated to men, women are not inferior. They are equal partners in the marriage, and they serve in the church, but they play especially an essential and critical, crucial role in God's plan and purpose of redemption. In the season of Advent, we trace the promises of God's Redeemer through the Old Testament unto the birth of Jesus, the promised Christ of God. And in shadow and type, that is, figuratively speaking, we see the promised Messiah reflected in the various deliverers that God raises up in the Old Testament to save God's people in times of trouble. Abraham, Joseph, Moses, David, and others who, in some way, though they are sinful, yet reflect the coming ministry of the Christ of God. Likewise, we also see prefiguring in the promised woman through whom Christ was to come, the seed of the woman. God spoke to Eve that he promised to her the seed of the woman who would come and crush the head of the enemies of God and his people, Satan and his minions. There are women who are barren, and we can name a few here: Sarah, Rebecca, Hannah. And at the appointed time, God provides for them conception, children in their womb, sons who have a special call by God. All these point to Mary, the virgin through whom the promised Redeemer would come into this fallen world. And though these Old Testament women were barren until God opened their wombs with these special sons, only Mary was truly a virgin. And this was because the child born to her would be God's eternal Son with all the attributes of divinity. He would be infinite. He would be eternal. Not would be, he is. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is immutable. That is unchangeable. But from Mary, that divine person, that divine eternal Son of God, would take to himself, through Mary, a true humanity, a full humanity. So in God's plan of salvation, he has in view a woman of promise through whom the male child of promise would come into this world, the full image of God in mankind, male and female, is crucial to God's plan to save sinners from sin and death. And so I want to make a few observations this morning and then close with some applications. How does this passage make a difference in my life. First of all, we see an angelic messenger. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, angels are created beings that do God's bidding, and they play important roles in the plan of redemption, and especially in the Christmas Advent narrative. Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21 tells us this. It's a praise to God. Oh, bless the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of the word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. So from the scripture, we see that angels are ministering spirits, ministering servants of God, who, when God intended to bring his Christ into the world, these were the ones who announced the first advent of Christ. One in particular is named associated with the Christmas narrative. This angelic messenger is named Gabriel. He also appeared to Zechariah, Mary's relative Elizabeth. It was Zechariah was her husband. And that angel announced to him the birth of a son to his wife who was barren, who would be the forerunner identifying Jesus as the Christ. He too was a child of promise. And so, of course, the angel that announced to Mary Jesus, or the birth of a son to her, this was a miraculous birth. And of course, angels loomed large in the announcement to the shepherds. You remember, it was an angel that appeared to the shepherds in the fields when Jesus was born. And after the announcement of the shepherd to the shepherds by this angel, a whole company of angels from the realms of glory began to sing praise to God, worshiping him as worship is due to the Lord God and Creator. And so that's why we sing worship to the Lord, and especially carols that remind us of heralding angels and angels from the realms of glory. Now, beside the angel messenger, this messenger brought to Mary a greeting that troubled her. It was a troubling greeting. He came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And so the angel explains what the greeting was about. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." Now, it must have been startling, frightening to this young woman. And this young woman would have been of early childbearing age, possibly, hard to imagine, but possibly 13 to maybe 17 years of age, a young teenager. And so at night, this angelic being comes, and this angelic being comes from the presence of God. And what we see in the scripture time and time again, when angelic beings or those who come from the presence of God experience humankind, men and women who experience this, experience what we've called the trauma of the holy. It's a frightening thing. It's a terrifying thing. And to Mary, it was a disturbing and mystifying thing, this greeting. "I'm favored of the Lord." What does that mean? Well, "Mary, you are favored of God" means that he is with you and will bless you and will enable you to do all that he asks of you by his grace and by his power. You see, you can't do what God calls you to do. Scripture says there is no one righteous, no, not one. There is no one who understands, that is, who understands his condition and who understands fully God's word toward us. No one righteous, no, not one. No one who understands. No one who seeks God, says Paul in Romans 3. Oh, we seek gods, but not the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible, before he brings to us the good news, brings the bad news, the news that people don't want to hear, that by nature we are wretched sinners, hell-bound, destined for judgment. And so what we need and how we are to accomplish the things that God longs of us comes by the power of God, by the power of God's Spirit and God's Word. And so the angel confirms also to Joseph too that this one who was to be born to Mary is the Son of God. I need to listen to Gary's sermon from last week, and when we called him saying you're going to have to fill in, I said, you know, Gary, have a theme through Advent, and I imagine in all your years of experience you have a sermon about Joseph, and I heard it was a very good message. But God provided for Joseph too, also the man who was thinking of divorcing his betrothed, loved, beloved Mary, because it appeared to him that she was unfaithful. The angel, likely Gabriel, mentioned to him that what was being formed in her womb also was by the power of God. And to both Mary and to Joseph, they were to give the name to this child, Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. So here's a question that might arise, because we've looked at the promise, and in the promise of Isaiah, what was the child to be called? He will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Well, Gabriel says, no, his name is to be Jesus. Well, which is it? Well, you must see this. See, the name Emmanuel is descriptive of the nature of the Son of God. And of course we do. We speak of this child born to Mary. We call him Emmanuel. One of my favorite Christmas carols, O come, Emmanuel. And so this is descriptive of his nature. Yes, he was a little baby boy. And you know, all of us, we know there's something special about baby flesh. Something, it's one of the softest things you'll feel in this world. You know, you pinch little babies' cheeks and you rub their fat, chubby toes and feet. And you just marvel at the smoothness of that skin. Jesus had all those attributes of humanity. But in that little chubby body of baby Jesus, to that was attached, you know, the divine nature, the divine, eternal Son of God. And dear friends, I don't know how that could be. That is, to me, the greatest mystery of all. That God's Son would have two natures, complete and full humanity and complete divine nature. Not mingled, but together they are the provision for us for our salvation. And when you come to see the name Jesus, think of that as descriptive of what he does. Emmanuel, who he is God with us. What is he going to do? He is Jesus, or the Aramaic or Hebrew way to say it is Yahshua, or Joshua, anglicized. And that name means God, or Yah, saves, for he will save his people from their sins. And so how is this possible, that this child will be born again? Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child born to you will be holy, the Son of God. Humanly speaking, this was impossible, but by God's power, all things are possible. And so the angel lets Mary know that your aged cousin, your aged relative, Elizabeth, she is with child in her sixth month. For with God, all things are possible. And so let me turn now to the applications that we need to make to our hearts and our lives. First of all, you must believe that this account of Jesus' conception in the womb of a young mother, the Virgin Mary, by the power of God, you must believe that this is the truth. When liberalism was on the rise in the early 20th century, the virgin birth of Jesus was especially a point of attack, where men would go before presbyteries or boards to be ordained, and there were many who would say that they did not believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. How can such a thing be? Somehow this is myth, and somehow we'll find importance in it. But these men were then ordained and established in churches to preach that which was false and not true. So the first application, you must believe, I must believe, we must believe, this is the truth. And how can it happen? Well, with God, all things are possible. And this, the virgin birth, shows that this is a child blessed by God, promised by God. And this child grew up to be Jesus, who would pay the penalty for our sins. The second application, understand that this woman of promise is not just Mary, prefigured by all these barren women, but the woman of promise is also the people of God. In the Old Testament, Israel, the chosen people, they were seen and understood as the wife of God. And the people of God, you know, in all the language, referred to in the feminine gender. And when we come to the New Testament, the church, meaning the corporate body of Christ, all who name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith are part of the body of Christ. And we are seen, men and women in the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, with Jesus as the bridegroom. And to the bride of Christ, the church, is given the commission to proclaim the good news of the gospel, so that Paul could say that we, the people of God, are of the Jerusalem that is above. She is our mother. Through the ministry of the church comes the ministry of the gospel, the foolishness of preaching which takes place Lord's Day after Lord's Day. And the Spirit of God takes faithful preaching, faithful proclamation of the gospel, and converts hard, broken hearts with the truth that they are sinners and need to repent and believe in the promise of God in Christ Jesus. And of course, as the church of Christ, each one of us is a servant in some way or another. The things that we can't do in our own power, we do by the same power that enabled Mary to bring Jesus into the world. Where Mary, this wonderful, precious young woman, by grace through faith, responds after the angel's greeting and promise. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And this is what we need to say too. Father, what you ask of me, I can't do in my power. So help me to share my faith. Help me to be faithful in worship. Help me to love those who are unlovely, people that I don't like. Help me to show them grace, mercy, and kindness. I can't do this of myself. May it be to me according to your word. That needs to be our application. One final application. And this one, I want you to really hear me. For we live in a day when cowardly politicians and social activists claiming to be progressive, that is, to make progress with humanity, they are declaring to us that there are more than two genders. This is a thing that's hard to imagine. And those who claim the traditional understanding that there are just two genders, male and female, those are seen by progressive people as backwards, hate mongers, people who promote violence among those who are progressive. And so they need to be canceled. They need to be ostracized because their view is unacceptable. And so we who hold to the view that God's image is comprised fully in both male and female, We need to acknowledge this. But here, listen, we need to be wise in the conflicts that we find ourselves, in which we find ourselves with people who are progressive. We need to be gracious. And we need to, there are some times we need to hold our tongue and not say a word. Be very careful what you post on social media. But then there are those times, and we need to pray for them, that God would give us opportunities to speak to those who hold to such falsehoods. And I want you to realize that such claims come from the enemy of God's people, the enemy who knows there is male and female, and that there was the promised child, the male child, who would be the redeemer of God's people. And the people of God corporately are called the promised woman. He knows this. And so all this focus on more than one gender, this is an attack from the pit of hell. So, choose your battles wisely. And you might say something like this to someone who continues to confront you with the truth. There are more than two genders. You say, hear me. Please understand that I do not hate you. I'm a child of God who's experienced the love of God in Christ. I don't hate you. I'm called to love you as Christ, as God in Christ has loved me. And I don't wish any violence to you. Anybody who would seek to perpetrate violence against you is wrong. And I will do all that I could do to protect you. But I must submit not to what you tell me is the truth, your truth, but to what God reveals is the truth in his word and is confirmed by biology, by science, that there are two genders, male and female. And so I submit to the living God. And this is consistent with his word when he spoke, saying, in the days of creation, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so as members of the bride of Christ, the glorious woman, hold to these truths. Serve one another and this broken and fallen world as Mary did by the power of the Holy Spirit. And do not shy away from the truth and conflict, but in humility with love and kindness express this truth and leave to God the consequences and trust him to protect you and preserve you. And if you are persecuted, canceled, abused, you know what? You're in good company. Did not the apostles, when they were beaten in the book of Acts, did they not go away after beaten severely, rejoicing that they could suffer such for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these truths, the glorious truth of Jesus, born of a virgin. Help us to believe these things. Help us, Lord, to be wise in dealing with these things and the things that we cannot do, true professions of faith, actions and ministries of love, kindness and compassion, we cannot do in our own power. So help us, God, by your Holy Spirit, to live lives pleasing to you as we are part of this glorious bride of Christ, the promised woman of God. In the name of Jesus, the glorious, gracious name above all names, we pray. Amen.